Luke 15, verses 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fat calf here and kill it, and let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Before we get started, I want to ask you one question. What's the one thing you can take to heaven with you? We'll get to the answer a little bit later on. I just wanted you to think about that for a few minutes. Today is Father's Day, a day to recognize and honor the dads who have been there for you or who are there for you. I realize that not everyone has had or does have a great relationship with their father, that not every father lives up to the praise that Father's Day was designed to give. But the one thing we all have in common is that we all have at least one great father. Some of us were blessed with two. You and I both have two fathers, an earthly father and a heavenly father. I was one of the lucky ones. When I was growing up, I heard my mom say on more than one occasion that I thought my dad could do no wrong. Naturally, he wasn't perfect, but I thought he was. I was a daddy's girl all the way through. Even though my dad's been gone for 25 years, I still have a vivid memory of childhood activities. Most are insignificant run-of-the-mill days, not lavish gifts or fancy trips, but just times that he took and spent with us. Since this is a day to honor our fathers, I thought we would take a little time to do just that before we get started.
Oh, you've already probably told from what I said before, I realized that my father's a tough old bird. Well, when I was about, I would say, six, and I have one sibling, my sister, who's 2 years older. We lived up in New York State, and we lived in a circular development. This has been in the early 50s, and we were at the bottom of it, and there was a pond. It was adjacent to a golf course, and there was a pond on the golf course, and it was a typical New York freezing cold winter, and my father decided he wanted to take my sister and I ice skating on the frozen pond. So my mother said, under no conditions are you taking the girls out in this freezing cold weather. And so my father, never to this day listens to my mother, she was doing something upstairs, and he bundles us up in all of our winter garb. And at that time, I was wearing two braces, one on each of my legs. And in the olden days, they were like made of heavy metal. There wasn't any such thing as plastic. So, and I probably weighed then what I do now. So I was kind of short and wide and very heavy. So I had these little double runner skates on, and my sister was skating around the pond, and my dad was with me, and suddenly the ice cracked, and down we went. And it was probably maybe 6 feet deep. It wasn't that deep, and he's not quite 6 feet tall. So, and of course, there was no one else around because all the other husbands listened to their wives and stayed in. So here he is trying to hold me up with about 20 additional pounds of metal on. And the only person around is my sister. So he tells my sister, who kind of at that time was built kind of like Heather Shackelford, is skinning out on her little belly to grab a hold of me, who outweighed her to this day. And we get safe on shore. So now he has to carry me, wringing wet with these starting to rust braces, up to the house. And by then, my mother obviously discovered we weren't there. And to this day, I can hear, George Clifford Twilliger, I told you not to do that, and jumping us in hot water. And actually, I remembered this because yesterday when the nurses were talking to us, and they said, was there any time he ever fractured his hip? Of course, my dad, that's all he could remember was our rescue from the great pond. So he's
was a character and always is a character and probably always will be a character.
The one thing that most of you know, if you remember my dad, is that he was a fisherman. And if there was a truck or a car or a way to get to water, especially if it was the coast, he was going. And as a small child, he was that way also. We got to tag along until we got to be about 10, and then it ceased. But the one thing that I learned about his fishing was that he said, God is always with you. God will always be with you. You do not have to have Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day. You do not have to have Christmas on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. You don't have to have Easter on Easter Sunday morning. That it is a very vital thing that you remember that God is there and that these days are special days, but they are the day that you celebrate with your family and with God. And that probably is the most valuable lesson that he could ever have given me, is that it doesn't matter whether it's Father's Day, Easter, or Christmas, is that the Heavenly Father is there, and we need to remember him all the time, as well as the fun times.
Anyone else care to share a memory in honor of their father? Okay, thank you to all of you that did. Okay, so what does the Bible have to say about fathers and their responsibilities? Today we are going to look at just three fathers from the Bible and the example each of them set: Joshua, Jairus, and the father of the prodigal son. First, let's look at Joshua. At the age of 110, he summoned the leaders of Israel for a farewell address. He charged them to obey the Lord, who had fought for them and given them an inheritance. He warned them by asking them to choose this day whom you will serve. So what godly father characteristics do we see in Joshua? First, he was the religious leader of his house. He acknowledged his responsibility for the spiritual life of his family. He spoke for his family when he said, "As for me and my family." He stated what his family would do. The greatest thing a father can do is pass on to his children his love for God. Here, Joshua urges all of Israel to make their love of God a priority. So what does this tell us today? That God has commissioned dads to be the spiritual leaders of their homes. A father can either lead his family closer to God or further away. The second quality we see in Joshua is a plan for his family. Being the religious leader of the family is not enough. The godly father must also have a plan for the spiritual life of his loved ones. Joshua states that we will serve the Lord, and he includes his family by adding me and my house. This brought unity and togetherness to the family. This also set an example for the leaders of Israel to see. Joshua was even prepared to stand alone with his family if necessary. So what does this tell us today? That if you're a Christian dad, your children should know it by the way you live. That the decisions that you make every day affect not only you, but your family also. That you are setting the values for your house and setting an example for your children to follow by teaching them to choose not their own way, but God's way. Next, let's look at Jairus. Jairus was a presiding elder of the synagogue. He was one of the most prominent men of the congregation. He was not a teacher or a preacher. He was responsible for the order of the synagogue, and he was a father with a desperate need. His little girl, the apple of his eye, was dying. So what qualities do we see in Jairus? First, he was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. He didn't send his wife or someone else. He sought Jesus out himself. Why was this a big deal? Because word had gotten around that Jesus was a friend of sinners, and it was unheard of in the religious community to invite Jesus into your home. Yet, regardless of his social position, regardless of what the onlookers thought, he humbled himself and knelt before Jesus, and he brought him back to his home. What does this say to us? One, we are to let our children know that we are not ashamed of the gospel. Second, fathers must be seekers of him. Seekers for wisdom, strength, and guidance. Third, it shows that we are to have faith in the one we serve. The second quality we see in Jairus is sacrificial love. The love for his daughter. He loved her so much that he was willing to do whatever he had to, and he was willing to go wherever he had to go. What does this tell us about this kind of love? The love for a child is unlike any other. Love is not giving a child everything they ask for. Love is not a closet full of toys or drawers full of clothes. Love is a relationship. Love is teaching them truth, the gospel, and the love of Jesus. Love is teaching them that our citizenship is in heaven and not on this earth. Love is constantly telling them and showing them that you serve Jesus because you want them to live eternally. So the question I asked in the beginning, what's the only thing you can take to heaven with you? Your children and your family. And our third father to look at is the father of the prodigal son. We all know this story and the different aspects of it, but today we're only going to look at the father. First, we know that he is a righteous man. We know this by his son's own testimony. He tells us that his father's hired men have food to spare. That tells us that he treats his workers fairly, that he is a fair man, and he cares for others. So what does this tell us? That it is important for fathers to be good examples to our children, that they are to treat others fair and decent. They are to be righteous in front of their children. Next, we know that he loves his sons unconditionally. We also learned from his son that his son knew he could go back home, and that even when he went back as a hired hand, that he would still be treated fairly. The father had communicated to his sons over the years that no matter how far from home they had gone, they were always welcome back. For fathers today, this kind of unconditional love is vital. It is important that your children know that you will always love them. The third quality we want to look at is his faith. When his son decided to leave home, he didn't try to stop him. Why not? Because this father put his faith in God. Remember, he was a rich man. He could have hired someone to find his son. But instead, he waited. And he waited. And he continually watched over the horizon for him while he waited. He was always looking down the road in hopeful expectation of his son's return because he trusted God. What does this tell us? That God watches and waits for the lost. That he is the father that doesn't stop us or control us. That he is the father that waits expectantly. And just as the father in the parable is full of joy at his son's return, so is our heavenly father each time a sinner repents. Notice that the son in the parable didn't get to finish his rehearsed speech to his father before his father interrupted him and forgave him. This is a picture of God's eagerness to forgive us. Our best example of a father, of course, is our Father in heaven. He is the model by which all others are judged. He is faithful, true, just, merciful, compassionate, slow to anger, loving, affectionate, patient, and kind, just to name a few. But you get to decide whether he will be your father or not. You decide what kind of relationship you want to have with him. In the book The Shack, this man talks about his wife's relationship with God. He goes on to say, "She even calls him Papa because of the closeness of their relationship, if that makes sense." And he skips down and he says, "The kids have picked up on it some, but I'm not comfortable with it. It just seems a little too familiar with me." So what kind of relationship do you have with our Heavenly Father? Just like our earthly fathers, our relationship with our Heavenly Father can be close and exciting, or it can be distant. You get to choose. Maybe there are some here this morning who long for a father to reach out to, someone to love them and forgive them. Maybe there are some here this morning that miss talking to their fathers because issues have separated them over the years. So the title, Who You Gonna Call, is for you to decide this morning. Who are you gonna call Father or Papa? Who are you gonna call to repair a relationship? Who are you gonna call to tell them you love them?